Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scouts. International break is almost over and it's time to think about FPL again. Here we will discuss the best options for the captaincy for game week 8. My name is Joe and joining me each week this season to discuss the best armband candidates is Fantasy Football Scout Deputy Editor Tom Freeman. Tom, welcome. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, Joe. Yeah, I've enjoyed the break. Played my wild card prior to game week 7, so there's been limited tinkering, but yes, it's been a good few days off.
Yeah, definitely. And before we crack on with some of the best candidates, I understand you have something to say about Fan Team.
Yeah, so there's the game week 8 weekly monster, which is due to launch anytime now. I think that's the, we've spoken about it before, it's the one game week tournament. It's essentially a free hit style squad, loads of good prizes on offer there. They've also got the Premier League and the Champions League games running. So, yeah, well worth a look.
Right, yeah. Okay, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to put a picture and some stats up of the person I am captaining this week. And I've got a question here for you. Should we just captain him every week and just not bother doing this show anymore and just say, or just do a very short show that says Salah and that's it. So, Salah. It's against Watford. Got some stats up on the screen as well. These are for all the season. Whatever metric you want in terms of attack, he's top of it. Big chances, he's top. Shots inside the box, he's top. Shots on target, he's top. Expected goal involvement, he's top. He's top of everything. And I haven't captained him. And it's cost me about 20 or 30 points the weeks I haven't captained him. And I should have just captained him every single week. Salah for the captaincy against Watford.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a bit of a no-brainer, doesn't it, this week? I mean, I'm the same as you, Joe. I think I've deviated it from the past couple of weeks. I went with Ronaldo, I think, against Villa, and then Lukaku last week, and it didn't pay off. I mean, I'm not one of these ones who would say he's an auto pick every week. I think next week when we have this chat, you know, Salah will be going to Old Trafford and Lukaku will be at home to Norwich. So, you know, I'm not quite in that Salah every week camp, but it's that consistency which is just so appealing, isn't it? I mean,
yeah,
six goals, 4 assists. I think he's averaging 10 points per match so far this season.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. You know,
it's the safest pair of hands that possibly is.
Toughest fixture, that's got to be against Man City. It just eases out 13 points as if it was nothing.
Exactly. And it was just electric. And even against Chelsea, you know, earlier on in the season, it was a penalty, but he still returned double figures in that. I think it was 10 points as well. And just Liverpool's attack at the moment. I mean, I think it's 22 goals in their last 7 matches in all competitions. They seem to have taken it up a level. They're averaging just under 20 shots per game during that time as well. And it just feels that when you've got a team playing that well in attack, you add Salah into that as well. And it's just been amazing. I mean, we should talk about Watford.
Yeah.
A little bit, you know, new manager bounce, perhaps, with Ranieri coming in. But we should say that he will have had limited time working with the team because of the international break. I think Watford have had 10 players away with their respective international teams. So how much time is he going to have time to drill them? before the game at the weekend. I know Sarr's been away and a couple of other important players like Troost-Ekong and Kucha. So I think Salah feels like quite a nice week for FPL managers because it feels that obvious.
Yeah, definitely. Just before we have a look at the latest of the whipping boys, those defences to target, just so we can see where Watford are on that, just want to welcome those that are joining us in the chat so far. The early birds are include John, Balder Gems, Fast Legan, Gary, Colm and Mac. Welcome all. Just 12 likes, but around 100 of you have joined us early on. So that means 90 of you hate us and... But it doesn't matter. Just press the like button anyway. So that's fine. There we go. There's a few of them shooting up there, smashing that like button. So let's have a look at those whipping boys. Just see where Watford are and see what some of the other defences are that some of the other candidates we'll mention are. So this is the last 4 weeks. I've sorted this by expected goals conceded. We've also got the actual goals conceded and big chances and clean sheets in there as well. So is it Norwich still there? Still the defence to target. Tottenham actually have been there for quite some time and still a defence to target. Leeds as well. But I think with Tottenham, they can consider themselves slightly unfortunate to have conceded 10, but they should have conceded 8, so not any great shakes. But it's Watford we're looking at there. They conceded 10 big chances. In terms of expected goals conceded, it's just over 6, and they've conceded just 5 goals. So they've been lucky not to concede more. So, yeah, the odds are stacked, really, for Salah to do well. If he can do what he did against Man City... Watford, surely, a good bet there. So, is anything else spring to mind before we move on to some of the other stats? But anything else spring to mind in terms of expected goals conceded, or rather, the sort of defences we should be targeting for the captaincy?
Yeah, well, I suppose going back to Watford, I mean, we ran a piece on Ranieri on Scout last week, and we looked at the kind of the defensive numbers under Munoz so far from game weeks 1 to 7, and they come out mid-table in a lot of metrics. Mm. But I think the problem for Watford is they don't commit many bodies forward. So it's that balance which Ranieri's got to get right. He's got to try and retain some defensive stability, but then they've got to offer more because they've been terrible going forward this year. Yeah. I think if you take out the Norwich game that Watford have played, I think they've had 2 big chances across every other game combined. So that's the challenge for them now. But I don't have any qualms with captaining Salah this week against Watford. I don't think it's the obvious choice, isn't it? And it'll be massively backed.
Yeah. Let's have a look at expected goal involvement per minute so far. And this is, it's last 4 game weeks. So this is sort of, so we've already seen where Salah is across the season. So let's have a look at expected goal involvement last 4. To give us a bit, oh, guess what? Salah's top again. So there we go. But it's Ronaldo who is second. He's still, you know, so he may not have been getting those scores, but he has been posting the stats in the last 4 game weeks. So we've got 14 shots inside the box there. And it's expected minutes per expected goal involvement. He's getting there. He's on a, it's basically Salah and Ronaldo in a sort of a league of their own. Then there's Werner from Chelsea. Yeah. Now, I know he's going to crop up. He's going to be on your differential list, isn't he, this week?
Fancy I won't lie. He is on the initial list.
There we go. I thought he would be. Because he's...
I mean, we've all got reservations about Werner and his finishing ability last year anyway. But we always had a feeling that he might come back on the radar at some point. And I think he scored a couple for Germany, didn't he, in midweek? So, over the weekend, sorry. So... perhaps one for those differential hunters out there.
Could be worth a look. Lukaku's not on this list. He's just not amongst those top players. So you've got the likes of Mane, Zaha, Crystal Palace, who I think is a good differential from the template, I would say. I think he's a bit marginally popular amongst most managers, though. So rather sort of the general crowd. Jota is there. Pepe, if he could ever get a start, he could be Is he on your differential list as well again?
Well, it's that uncertainty around starts, which is you've got to be really careful when you're tipping those players on a Friday. Yeah. You've got to be pretty sure they're going to start. You know, the last thing I need is tipping a player and he doesn't turn up. But yeah, again, that's all it would take is one injury at Arsenal across that kind of attacking midfield line, and he could become an option then.
Then you've got the Brentford lads. You've got Vardy. Vardy, we all ignore him, and there he is. So the last four, he's had four shots on target, four goals. That's typical Vardy. That's not something you'd look at and go, it's unsustainable. That's just what he does. You got Hoang at Wolves and Antonio. Antonio is still there. Maybe he hasn't been getting the big scores, but he's still a good option there. So plenty of good options there. But it's Man City I'm quite interested in for the Maverick captain. So if you don't want to captain Salah, it's Man City I like because they've played Burnley. And those with a short memory or a long memory will remember every time Man City played Burnley at home, they absolutely hammer them. In fact, I believe it's been 5-0 the last two times they played them at home.
It's been 5-0 in the last four times they've played them at home in all competitions. Which I had to check this morning because I didn't believe it when I read it.
Mahrez has had 5 goals in this fixture in the last two games. Foden, Torres, lots of them have done well. Man City, okay, you're a Maverick manager. You want to put the armband somewhere. It's very likely the B team will play. Look at this. Look at these Mahrez stats. This is unbelievable. This is minutes per expected goal involvement all season. Mahrez is in a league of his own. Every 63 minutes, he's expected to be involved in a goal. The next nearest is Sterling with 129 minutes. So this is a big leap. And then you've got the likes of Torres, Jesus, Gundogan, Foden, Grealish, De Bruyne, all of these players in the mix. But if you were to captain a Man City player against Burnley, who they hammer 5-0, that's just what they do, who would you captain?
I would have to say De Bruyne. Just because he feels like the nailed option there at the moment. Now, I think De Bruyne feels a bit like what we've spoken about with Mane in the past, that he's got a problematic price tag and it's very difficult to work him in. No penalties is a bit of a blow. Yeah. I think his finishing was below par last season, but that doesn't worry me too much. But what a differential. I mean, I think he's owned by 2% at the moment.
Yeah.
Which is just crazy for a player of his quality. That would be where I would look. Mahrez, if we knew he would get 70, 75 minutes, of course I would say go for it. But it's that uncertainty around him starting. So where we're at with City on the right is Jesus has started the last six in that position, which Mahrez normally occupies. Jesus is going to be back late, we believe, from Brazil international duty. They play on Friday. The game is on Saturday. So that immediately makes you think, oh, hello, Mahrez could start here. But we can't forget Torres can operate there. You've also got Sterling, who's going to be pushing for a start. He hasn't been playing as much on the right, but he's a player that could play there. You've got Foden, you've got Grealish. It feels so hard to actually decipher who is going to be in line to start that one. And that puts me off a little bit.
Yeah.
The De Bruyne thing, Burnley have conceded quite a few set play attempts this season. They have conceded quite a few headed attempts from set plays. So that kind of, you know, his assist potential is there for that. But yeah, I mean, I don't know what you think, Joe, but just those wide players, it just feels like such a lottery.
Basically, yeah. I mean, it's when you see the team sheet for City against Burnley in this fixture, if you own any of that front three or De Bruyne behind them feeding them, so if it's sake of argument, Torres, Grealish and Mahrez or Foden, you know, whatever. So if you own any of them, just basically turn the TV or radio off, just crack open the champagne, just forget about the day, just get absolutely hammered. You are going to be massively in the points. And that's it. That's all you need to do. But as you said, which one starts?
I mean, owning feels okay, taking that punt on the player. But when you put the when you're going against Salah already, and you don't even know if this player will start, that feels risky as hell.
Yeah.
That's a game week 37 or 38 impossible move that you might go for.
You and I aren't those types of managers, but we're a broad church here, and we've got we cater for all sorts of listeners and viewers.
We do.
We would be going Salah, but if you want to steal a march on everyone, if you wanna really go for it, KDB, Mahrez, Torres, even Foden, whoever is going to start is going to do well. I mean, I can almost guarantee that.
Yeah, no, well, it does feel like that way. Everything points towards it. I mean, I like Foden. If you're on a wild card this week, I do like it, but it's risky. We can't guarantee that he's going to start two of the next three, which is when you want the City players for. But that's part of the risk that you take with them. And we should also mention that City play Club Bruges on Tuesday in the Champions League. And now that match has taken on a little extra significance after they lost to PSG. They've still beaten Leipzig, so they're in a good spot. But it's quite a short turnaround as well. And so even if players are starting, we don't know how long they're going to last into that. And that's what makes it so difficult. But it's the it's probably the standout fixture, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Ahead of Liverpool's one.
It is, definitely. So if you got a bottle of champagne on ice and you're that type of manager, captain a Man City player. And hope for the best and hope they start. So there are some other options. Hey, do you remember Lukaku? Everyone was going mad about him a while ago, but
me too.
Here he is in Belgium colours, because he has withdrawn from the squad for Belgium with muscle fatigue, and so I don't know whether that is code for with the clubs just resting him and he's going to be all fine for game week 8, or whether it's a genuine fatigue and he may be rested or reduced minutes. But I'd be surprised. It's Brentford though. Is Lukaku your vice captain this week?
Well, he is actually. I mean, I haven't thought about it in any real detail at the moment in terms of the vice. The muscle fatigue's an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, I suggest people keep an eye on your Neil's team news towards the end of the week. Hopefully Tuchel will be honest about that, or open about it at least, and we'll know where we stand. It certainly doesn't sound too serious, does it?
No.
On the face of it. I think Jota's had some a muscle mention as well over the break as well. So it's just about, let's see what happens with that. But
I wish I could just recall it like that. Jota is suffering from a muscle mention.
Well, you know what I mean. Yeah, yeah, I'm sure the muscle thing popped up with Jota.
And yeah,
again,
it did.
It's really difficult to know what this means on the international break, and it's probably Thursday, Friday where we'll get to know a bit more. But Lukaku, it's 5 games without a goal now, I think, in all competitions for Chelsea. He doesn't appear on that list that we showed up earlier. There's been some interesting articles running about Tuchel, and is he getting the best out of him? And I think Conte had some comments on it as well. I'm not too worried about it. I think Lukaku will continue, you know, he'll get back on track soon. They've got great fixtures, Chelsea. But this specific match, it'll be a tough one. Brentford have been really impressive this year. They do commit bodies forward. Liverpool hit 3 past them, didn't they? And could have had quite a few more the other week. But they're still a decent team. Good 3-5-2 formation, organised. Probably happy to own Lukaku this week with what's to come against Norwich the week after, but I wouldn't put the captaincy on him, I don't think.
No, Brentford are sort of mid-table in terms of the whipping boys, in terms of expected goals conceded over the last 4. They were expected to concede about 5, and they've conceded 5 goals there. That doesn't scream to me being hammered. I suspect their defence will be breached. It's possible Lukaku could get a return there, but unlike the Man City game against Burnley and unlike the Liverpool game against Watford, I can't see multiple goals in there. And if there are, maybe there will be, but it's not something that just feels like a hammering. to me.
Yeah, I think we always, with the captaincy, we go for that player with a big, high ceiling, don't
yeah.
we? And sometimes you get those fixtures where, with Lukaku, you, as an owner, you'd probably say I'd take a goal and maybe a bonus point or something this week. Whereas with Salah and certainly the City options, you want in two attacking returns at least, aren't you? To really make it worthwhile. That's my thinking anyway.
Yeah, definitely. A slightly worse attack is actually Leicester. So they're expected to concede just under 6 goals. And there's 7, they've conceded 7, so it's marginally unlucky to concede 7, but nevertheless, they're on paper a worse defence. Now, there could be some goals in this game. Manchester United against Leicester, so Vardy could be a good shout, and Ronaldo could be a good shout. And Ronaldo's, of course, had his rest, so I can't see that happening again, considering Manchester United didn't win without him.
Yes.
So, yeah, what do we think? Ronaldo against Leicester, this game screams goals to me.
Yeah, Leicester look wobbly at the back. They've conceded more shots in the box than any other side this season. The XGC is a bit better. I think that's kind of about 13th or 14th, but they're struggling to get that partnership right. They've played with Soyuncu and Vestergaard so far, and it isn't quite clicking for them. United as well, with their issues at the back, with Maguire out. Mm. I think Varane's picked up a knock with France as well. So I think that backs up what you're saying, that this could be an open matchup. I think if Iheanacho's fit as well, I think him and Vardy will cause quite a few problems for United. I don't see this. This isn't an easy game to call, though. I find it very difficult. It could go either way. I mean, any game can go either way, but this particularly feels like a match which I'm finding really hard to predict what the score will be. And that makes the captaincy quite a tough call with it, because you just don't know which way it's going to go. I could see either team winning this one.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know which way to go, but Ronaldo is my vice-captain. I haven't at the moment. I will probably remove him for Lukaku game week 9 against Norwich, but it's not game week 9 we're talking about, it's game week 8. And on paper, I think Ronaldo has the better fixture. So that might be of interest to those who aren't wildcarding, who think, do I keep Ronaldo for a while? This, I think, is probably worth keeping. And I'm my vice-captain. Yeah, so if Salah doesn't show up, I'll happily hop on to Ronaldo for the captaincy. There are, of course, some other candidates. Now, I noticed on the thumbnail picture for the video, we've got Son on there, even though we're mentioning him far down. arguably, it should have been Salah, or perhaps one of the Man City lads. But by the way, some people mentioned Cancelo. Yes, of course, Cancelo is an option for the captaincy. He has very high ceiling. He could get clean sheet returns. But will he start? You tell me. We don't know. I think I can
honestly say in my 11 or 12 years of playing FPL, I've never, ever captained the defender. And Trent came close he asked a few questions last season. I know quite a few people had a dabble with Duffy in that double game week a while ago. So there is occasions, but it's just...
I've only done it one time before, Leighton Baines.
He was special. Kind of on another level. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so it's not something I ever kind of really look at unless there is like a real standout captain at it. I mean, Cancelo, of course, he could. It's just always that fear that they're on for a clean sheet and then, you know, you give up a goal a couple of minutes to go and then that's that 4 points taken away. But fair play if you do go for that. You know, yeah, you're more maverick than I am.
I just want to answer someone in the chat. I think it's from Matthew Price. He says, Joe, I can't believe you got Lukaku, Ronaldo and Salah in the same team. I don't know where you got that opinion from. We're mentioning
you were going to switch, didn't you, from next
game week 9 Ronaldo to Lukaku, so perhaps that. But no, everyone we're mentioning here, we don't own them all. But I wish we did. But if you can spare me another 100 million, then maybe I will own them all. But until that time comes, I won't. So yeah, there's some other candidates. We've got Son in the thumbnail picture. Son or Kane against Newcastle. And the reason I'm hesitant is not because I don't doubt Son and I don't doubt the Newcastle defence, but they're under new ownership. And I mean, it's mega ownership. It's like we're going to get some megastars in. They're not just playing for like a new manager. They're playing definitely to stay in that team. And you're going to want to, aren't you, if you're St Maximum or if Callum Wilson's back. I just can't see this being a stroll for Spurs. What do you think?
I mean, firstly, I love Son as an option. You know, I bought him in on my wildcard last week, and I really like owning him. But yeah, there is that new ownership factor. Will Bruce be in charge? We don't know. The suggestions are that he won't be, but if he is he going to feel like he needs to maybe adopt a more proactive approach in an attempt to entertain a little bit? Is he going to, can he do that? I mean, I'm a Villa fan. I'm well aware of his, of what Bruce
just thinking Steve
can't
Bruce
do.
Entertaining and
yeah, exactly. But is he going to kind of, are they going to be a little bit more on the front foot than normal, which is of course going to be a good thing for Son if that happens, because a bit like Villa, in the game week just gone, cash was pretty high and high for Villa as on the wing back system, and there's a massive gap between him and Konsa, and Son just exploited it time and time again. So that kind of thing, it would be good for Spurs if they do have to play on the counter, because they're so good with Kane dropping a bit deeper, playing those through balls, which we saw so often last year. I mean, I like Son as an option this week, but I do get that. I think they're valid points that you make about the new ownership, sold out crowd, everybody wanting to impress. And, you know, Spurs looked better against Villa, but before that, they didn't look great.
No.
I think they're improving. I think they look better in a 4-2-3-1. I think Ndombele's replaced Ali, and they look better with that setup. As a Son owner, I'm happy to stick him in this week, but I haven't actually considered captaining him.
Son's obviously on his travels, like many players are with the international break, but he plays on Sunday, so that I think would, I think if he was playing on Saturday, I might think, oh, it could be a little bit tired, because he's quiet, it's a lot of miles where he's playing, but I think the Sunday, that should give him an extra day, and of course he'll be on a plane with a massive four-poster bed in it anyway, so it doesn't matter.
It's not how we travel.
No. There are some other options for the captaincy for those that are even more maverick than betting on Man City. Actually, Antonio against Everton, that feels quite a safe option, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been on international duty, Antonio, has he? They kind of came to an agreement with Jamaica, so he wouldn't travel. And obviously, that's great for his owners as well, because you're always worrying about his hamstrings. But Everton are looking pretty good this season under Benitez, I think. They're pretty organised. I think Dinier might be out. I think he's had another international knock at it to the list. But yeah, it's not a game I'm looking to captain. I do think Everton could make that difficult. But Antonio, he has been ticking over nicely, hasn't he? I know he blanked in the last week, but not something I've looked at for captaincy, perhaps.
Norwich on paper, still the worst defence, although they have improved on the eye. They're still conceding, but Norman is doing well in midfield there. So they appear to be better, but I don't think they are. But then anyway, Brighton rock up there, and Brighton riding high, top four Brighton. Neil Mopay, can I... Interesting.
I was going to say, Joe, you're the best place to answer this. I mean, Mopay, Trossard probably after him, or would you consider it?
Okay, right. There's a scale of maverick. and if you're maverick, at the top of it is like Mahrez captain, Torres captain, and then even beyond that is Trossard captain against Norwich Salah. It comes back to the same thing. You're betting against Salah. If it was a week where Salah... I would say if a week where Salah was playing against Man City, we did that before and got a double-digit haul. But say Liverpool had a tougher fixture and the captaincy was more open and there wasn't a real standout fixture, then I think a Brighton asset would be good for the captaincy. But I think in comparison to all of the people we've been mentioning over the last half an hour, I'm aware I'm not going to convince anyone to captain Trossard or Neil Mopay.
But nobody can.
It would be one of those two, I think, with the captaincy. And I'm not even going to go near Shane Duffy, even to own.
Okay. It's like that. Okay. Good week to own the Brighton.
If you've got Brighton players anywhere, attack, defence, wherever, great week. Anyone else? Anyway, I think we mentioned everyone. We've really scraped the barrel, the Duffy barrel.
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I know you mentioned him a few weeks ago, Joe, when he wasn't firing, but Aubameyang as well on that Monday night fixture against Palace. I mean, again, for exactly the same reasons that you just outlined then. I'm not looking at him, I don't own him. But just, you know, Arsenal do seem to be, have turned a little bit of a corner. 10 points in the last four games. And but Palace have improved too. Palace are looking okay. So yeah, we should at least mention him. And I suppose as well, we haven't mentioned players like Mane and Fernandes here as well, but only because we feel there are better options at those clubs at the moment in Salah and Ronaldo. Yeah. But of course, you can't write them up. Of course, they could do well. No. And we could probably pick out other players on that list, but I think we have covered off the best and the not so quite so good ones as well so far.
Definitely. It's going to be a few weeks before we mention Manchester United again, I think. Yeah. But when we do, I'm sure Ronaldo will still be there. I think Fernandes is a realistic alternative Manchester United captain. And also Rashford is going to come back. But we've got a few weeks to find that out. And that's a bit of future gazing there. But looking for game week 8, it's Salah, unless you are Maverick, in which case go for Man City or Neil Mbappe.
Yeah.
Tom, whatever decision you come to, good luck with your decision to captain Salah, I should say. And good luck with your Salah captaincy.
Brilliant. Thanks, Joe. Thanks for having me.